This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's so great to have Greg Perry as our guest this morning. Greg is a writer for LouRockwell.com. Take a look at his archive. He's an expert on guns. But ironically, from at least the impression you would get from looking at his LRC archive, he's actually a computer guy, the way he earns his living. And he actually has the title of the most prolific author of computer books on Earth. He's written more books about computer technology than any other person. But in terms of his interest in guns, he's been well-trained at all the top schools, whether it's Gunsight or Suarez International or the U.S. Shooting Academy. He's owned and certainly fired virtually every type of firearm on Earth at one time or another. But Greg, you know, I know you've recently pared down your gun collection. Why is that?
Well, I have. I've certainly not lost any interest in firearms. As a matter of fact, I started getting rid of some of my guns whenever I got better trained and got more interest in them. And it sounds like a paradox, but I became much more focused. I've probably sold about 100 rifles and shotguns and pistols over the last year or so. And I love buying and selling firearms in online auctions especially, and that's where I sold most of them. But,
hey, heroic.
But the reason I sold most is that where Jane and I store most of our firearms is in a climate-protected safe, and firearms, they still require maintenance and oiling and cleaning, and it was getting to be a nightmare, Lou, just doing the routine maintenance and preventing rust from our fingerprints and so on. And I feel it's important to have a lot of ammunition, both for practice and long-term storage, and price increases are always hitting us and such. So I just got tired, and I couldn't afford all of the calibers I was trying to stock and keep up with. And the funny thing is, like most people, we only really like shooting about four types of guns, and all the rest, they're fine and they're okay, but they're not our preference. So about a year ago, I heard a phrase that changed my entire view on everything, and it said, "Do not fear the man with 500 guns. Fear the man with only one, because he knows how to use it." And that got me thinking, you know, it would be far better to have only the weapons that we train and practice with, because we and have multiple backups of those, possibly, and for good reason, and get rid of everything else that were just hassles. And so by selling them, we could get more ammo that we really use. We could take advantage of bulk quantities. It sounds like we're just, you know, fire thousands of rounds a week, and we don't. But we like to shoot, just my wife and I. We love to shoot and practice shoot. And we now have pared it all down, and we did exactly that. And our inventory is much more manageable. And but where we keep our guns safe and inside the safes, it sure looks bare, very bare now compared to what it used to be.
You know, you mentioned how the price of ammunition has gone up, and I guess the price of a lot of guns as well over, say, the last year, even much higher than what inflation has caused. Why is that, do you think?
Well, we do. Two things have happened. The price of commodities has increased greatly, or it did. It was increasing greatly over the last year until a couple of months ago. So commodity prices of metals were going up, up, up. And then we had all of the economic problems that everyone on Lou Rockwell knew was coming. And so commodity prices started dropping, and we were looking forward to lower prices on ammo and reloading equipment and weapons. And it turns out that in November, something happened that changed the whole gun industry, and that was Obama was elected president. And the next day, the shelves started going bare. And supply and demand says that when my shelves, when I'm almost running out of my supply, I'm going to increase my price because I'm a smart businessman. I'm just saying this is what the businesses were thinking. And it has been, not only are prices at least 25% higher on at least the ammo that we want, you just can't get it. As a matter of fact, the week after the election, I ordered several thousand rounds of a certain type of caliber from a bulk wholesaler that I buy from, and about once a week, they will send me an email saying it's going to be another 2 weeks before we're able to ship this. And now I'm into late January. So prices have gone up, but if they never ship it, who cares what the price is? It doesn't really matter. So we're seeing tremendous supply problems right now. Wholesalers are out, retailers are out. And, you know, it's great for the gun industry, though. It's been very healthy. It's almost like the gun grab in the 90s with the Brady Bill and all of that. It really boosted gun sales.
You know, speaking also of ammunition, I know that you're a strong advocate of concealed carry of guns,
yes.
Which I agree is a very good idea. But tell us about the gun you use and caliber and size and so forth.
Well, I carry a 93,
Tell me what a 93 is.
Well, by that I mean I carry a 45, and sometimes I carry my wife's little 380 in my ankle holster. So that gives me a 93, but seriously, primarily, I just carry a Colt 45. It's a full-size semi-automatic gun, and that's what I shoot best. That's what I learned to shoot with, and that's what I prefer. My wife, being a lady, she actually likes that gun and shoots it very well, and she has her own, but she doesn't carry it very much. She just doesn't like to carry that big old weapon, and so she has a little 380 that she carries around in her purse or in her wherever she can conceal it, and that seems to work well for her.
You know, Greg, I must say that's my favorite gun. I mean, I love the Colt 45, but always impresses me is not a gun to actually carry concealed. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, that's tough, and certainly carrying a full-size 1911, which is what I carry, guns, and I don't want this just to be a bunch of cliches in the interview, but guns were made to be comforting but not necessarily comfortable. And there are lots of schools of thought on that, Lou, on the right gun and the right caliber to carry, and I really try to avoid those debates because if one gun were best for everybody, then only one gun would be sold. And there's little debate, though, that a 45 has tremendous stopping power. And someone hyped up on whatever drug of choice he or she happens to be hyped up on sometimes is difficult to stop when they really get going. And so the largest caliber that you can legally carry in my state, and we can get into state carry laws if you want, but anyway, the largest I can legally carry is a 45, and so I just choose to do that. It's all relative. I mean, the smallest caliber in the world, Lou, is the caliber you have with you when you have to shoot someone, and the largest caliber in the world is what that other guy has pointing at you when he's shooting at you. But anyway, even though it's relative, I like the 45. I was trained with it. I shoot it best. And I do have difficult to conceal issues everywhere I go. I've always got a jacket or a sweater. And we live in Oklahoma, which stays very hot 9 months of the year. So it's a challenge that I don't like to face. But if I could predict when I would need it, I wouldn't carry it most of the time. That's the problem.
You know, Greg, speaking of challenges you have to face, I mean, you're a famous shooter. As you've told us, you have a lot of guns even now after having gotten rid of 100. You know how to use them and all, carry concealed. But don't you have physical problems that make this even more difficult, both to be a shooter and
sure.
Such a good shooter and also to carry concealed?
I guess I do. That's why I don't let people whine to me too much that they can't shoot a gun or they're afraid of guns. I have some, I call them minor annoyances. I was born with a grand total of 3 fingers and missing all 7 of the rest, and those 3 are deformed, and only 1 leg. And a lot of people would call those problems. I really don't think too much about it, but really, if you think about it, if I can carry concealed and shoot, there's no excuse why others can't. But I shoot shotguns, rifles, and semi-auto pistols, and I shoot them just fine. So I don't really care what my body's hardware looks like as long as, you know, I can do what I want. But one thing I think is critical, the great thing about my physical differences is, given that I can shoot, and by the way, Lou, on a range, I can handle all of the exercises just fine. I'm never the fastest guy on the range. I'm not necessarily the slowest, but I can be. I mean, it takes me from a half second to a second more to draw and shoot in most cases, especially if I'm drawing from concealment. And the great thing about that, about me being different, is I have a tremendous tactical advantage if a situation breaks out, because I'm the last person any bad guy will think has a gun. And I'm going to be the first person they turn their backs on in a hostage-type scenario. So for you normal people, I'm sorry you have to go through life with such a tactical disadvantage, but, Lou, don't worry, because I've got your back.
Greg, well, you're great. Greg, a lot of libertarians have, you know, have questions about getting a state permit to carry a gun, and they just prefer not to do that. What's your view of this? I mean, is getting a more stealth approach, or should you get the state carry permit? I might add, I have a state carry permit myself.
Well, I have one, too. The mere fact we're doing this interview shows that I'm not extremely concerned about privacy when it comes to gun ownership. Wow, several issues. I mean, here's the deal. If everyone who carried a gun had a permit, Washington would take more notice than they do. They would be less callous because of the huge number of people that they would know carry. And Well, I say that. Nowadays, they don't really care about anything that's right, but I think it would have an impact. I hear people are afraid to buy a gun because of paperwork trails, or they're afraid to get a concealed permit because their names are on the government rolls, and many good people carry without the permit, and hey, I don't have a whole lot of problem with them doing that, except if they're caught, they stand a good chance of losing their gun, and they'll face criminal charges, and some of them, what some people would call swastika states, such as New York or Massachusetts, if they're caught with a firearm, even if they legally defended themselves, they could face criminal charges just by having that weapon. There are two viewpoints. I'm glad the writers of the Declaration of Independence were not afraid to sign their names to demonstrate their love of freedom. Since they did that, we have some heroes to admire. And having said all that, I understand those who refuse to buy a gun that has a paper trail or get a permit. They might disagree, but the thing is, I think, and I know that this is true, a lot of people without a permit are unlikely to have their weapon when they really need it in spite of their good intentions. And the way I look at it, if I can carry legally, Lou, I will do so and I'll get my permit. If I'm ever not allowed to carry legally, then I will move to a state that respects my right to defend myself and my family. Now, if all those options vanish and it's just all outlawed completely, then I have a decision to make, and at that point I will carry illegally for certain because I would have no choice. I would break man's law in that case because I love my family more than I fear the government.
Greg, you talked about the advent of Obama and the effect of that on gun sales and ammunition sales. But what do you think that the future of the next 4 years holds for gun owners? I mean, what's going to happen?
Yeah, they don't like us. They don't like us being able to defend ourselves and our families. Fortunately, for some reasons, the economy is in the dumpster. And I say fortunately only in the sense that I seriously doubt that this next administration or Congress will be spending time on gun issues anytime real soon. Certainly they probably would delay anything over. If the economy was just fine, I wouldn't be talking like this. But in spite of that, guns and ammo prices, as we say, skyrocketed. And I actually thought prices would be more normal by now, that it's been a month or so after the election, but they're still skyrocketing. And back orders are indefinite if you buy in bulk. And so the election, although it was good for the gun business, if this administration keeps focused on the economy, and everyone in our audience knows the government, they'll do absolutely nothing to improve this economy. The law of unintended consequences will always hit them, and we always pay the price. So we know the best they'll do is band-aid problems and delay problems that will be even worse. So I'm not as fearful because of the economy as I would have been, as I would have been 6 months ago. And another thing, Lou, I'm not a huge Second Amendment type of guy. I mean, it's great, and I use the Second Amendment as a tactic in gun rights arguments, but I consider the right of self-defense to be inalienable. And when a man what man gives us, man can take away. And we have a right to defend ourselves and our family and our friends, and that's true whether or not the Second Amendment was ever drafted. So when I debate people over gun freedom issues, I like to use the word freedom and self-defense and not throw out Second Amendment all that much. But, you know, if the administration, though, stays focused on the economy, I don't think they're going to focus too much on gun issues to answer. Now, Lou, if things really crumble, and they may never get around the gun issues, you know, if things really fall apart. But if we go into depression era bad or even worse, then they may impose very harsh police state measures. And at that point, I think all bets are off. I mean, they're going to want our guns, and the gun owners who love freedom will quickly separate from those who don't. Fred, who never gives a last name, he writes a column in Shotgun News. He describes that sort of breakdown, Lou. He says the freedom lovers will stand out on their street corner. This is really good. I hope I get this right. If a total breakdown occurs and the UN tanks are running down the street collecting guns, then the freedom lovers are going to be out front with their kids next to them and their wife, and then they'll be throwing their cheapest broken guns in the carts going by, and the spouse and kids, well, they'll be waving a flag on either side of him, and all the while their nephew or uncle is hidden inside the cellar reloading ammo and oiling the weapons, you know. But I just can't fathom that scenario. I mean, I don't want it to happen. I don't see it happening. But, you know, part of me is a warrior, and I say bring it on. I mean, you know, but I think in a total breakdown, all bets are off and we're in trouble. But right now, I don't think gun enthusiasts have a lot to worry about, at least for the next 2 years, and hopefully longer.
But probably part of the stimulus will not be sending every taxpayer a Colt 45.
Probably not.
Yeah, well, too bad. Okay.
Yeah. Or gun buy, you know, in gun buyback programs, they recently, just last week, I think in California, they were paying people, they were giving people $100 gift cards to Best Buy to turn in their weapons. And I was thinking, I just would like to have a table like 3 feet in front of that table that says for $110, I'll buy your weapon. And I mean, we would have gotten good deals, you know.
Well, Greg Perry, thanks so much for coming on the show today. And I want to urge everybody to take a look at your archive at lewrockwell.com. And great to have you and great to talk to you.
It's really been a pleasure. Thanks so much. And Lou, you keep fighting for freedom. We love you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by lewrockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@lewrockwell.com. And thanks for listening.